All right, we are over halfway through the book of Malachi. And next week, we'll go over Malachi chapter 4, and we will be done with the book of Malachi. That being said, if you have an idea for the next book or the next subject that you think would be interesting for me to read over or talk about, go ahead and message me on Instagram at the Godcast of Benjamin Shelby, and I will get back to you and possibly do it next. So, Malachi chapter 3, I hope to keep it short and sweet today because I don't really have a whole bunch of time. So if I talk really fast, bear with me, put it on 0.5 speed and just try to, try to listen and try to get something out of it, okay? So I'm going to pray and then we're going to get started. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day, God, and I pray that you please help me say everything I'm supposed to say and help me refrain from what I'm supposed to refrain, God. And I just thank you for everything you are, and I pray that you please bless this study through your word, God. And I just thank you for everything you are, in Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger." Okay, so actually, let's get started. In the first, probably half of this chapter, it's talking about Jesus coming. Okay, this is a prophecy of Jesus coming to earth to die on the cross to refine Judah and Levi. So now that we got that understood, I'm just going to read through this stuff real quick. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So he says, look, I'm going to send a messenger, okay? And I'm going to send the Lord that you want to see, the Lord that you've been serving this entire time. You want to see him? I'm going to send it to you, okay? So he says, you've been serving God this false way and thinking that you're doing it's right, right? But he's saying, and as we keep reading, we're going to see how he is going to refine them. Yeah, they're going to meet God, but it's not the way exactly that they want, unless, and we're going to keep reading, we're going to see, but right now, at this point, God is saying, you're going to meet him, and it's not what you're going to think, okay? Verse number 2, "But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap." He says, look, when he comes, you're not going to like it. When he comes, and when he finally shows himself like you've been wanting, you're not going to enjoy it. Why? Because you aren't serving God the way he wanted you to serve him. Who's going to be able to stand in the day of his judgment? Nobody. We're going to keep reading, but keep that in your mind. It says he's a refiner's fire. And refiner, that's like a trying fire. And I want you to think about your own life when Jesus finally shows up. When you see God at the end of your life, the question is he going to be happy with the way that you've been living your life, with the way you've been giving these false sacrifices? Because he's a refiner's fire. How do you know for sure, though? And we're going to keep reading and we're going to see. But I want you to keep that in your mind. How do you know that your life is exactly what he wants? His word is a refining fire, guys. His word, the word we're reading right now, it's a refiner's fire. What does that mean? It means your life should be put through the refiner's fire. Everything you do, everything you think of, everything you say should go through this fire. And if God doesn't want it there, he will get it out. And the things he does want, the things that's pure gold, the things that cannot burn, the things that he actually wants in your life, it won't burn. Isn't that a beautiful picture? So just put yourself every day into the fire, into God's word, and pray and see if God can show you how to live your life and how to speak, how to do what he's told you to do, because his word is refiner's fire. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but that's the basis on how you live your life. Let's keep reading. Verse number 3. "And behold, he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." You want your offering to be right. If you've been following me through this entire study, and you see, I've showed you how maybe your life is not living up to exactly what God wants, That is not exactly the way that it's supposed to be. And you want to know how, and you really just want to know how to make your offering righteous to him. How do you do that? Just like it said here, it's after God purifies your life. It's after he uses his refining fire in your life. Then it says right here, and at the end of verse 3, that ye may offer unto him, unto the Lord, an offering in righteousness. That's how you do it. And we could end this off right here, but there's so much more in this chapter, so I'm going to keep going. But keep that in your mind. Write it down somewhere. Write Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 4. You want your life to be pure before God. If you want your life to be righteous and your offerings to be what he wants, what you do is you put it through the fire and whatever, and you got to listen to the fire. You don't throw something into the fire and expect it not to burn off, right? If you throw paper in a fire, you don't expect it just to sit there, right? What the fire lights on fire, it's going to get rid of it. So don't put your life into the God's refining fire and just say, you know, I actually don't want this to be burnt off. You got to give it all. And you got to let him burn off what he wants to burn off and let him keep what he wants to keep. And you can know that. You can know his standards. You can know what he wants you to do by reading his word. His word is a fire. Jeremiah talks about how his word was a fire in his heart and he couldn't keep it in. God's word is a fire. So when you put your life through the refining fire of God's word, what he tells you to get rid of, get rid of it. And what he tells you to keep, you better keep. Okay? Verse number 5. And I will come near to you I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers. And against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, and the widow and the fatherless, and that turn the stranger from his right, and not fear me, saith the Lord God of hosts. You know what he says? He says, I will be a witness. We talked about last week how God is a witness to those who treat their spouses the wrong way, or the people that have left their spouses to go pursue other lovers, or the people also in a spiritual sense, if you remember, that leave God to go pursue other things. God's a witness in that. But he also says, hey, I'm going to be a swift witness. It's going to be like that. I'm going to be a swift witness to the sorcerers and to the adulterers, the people that commit adultery, whether that be physical or spiritual adultery. Against the false swearers, the people that promise things and don't do it. He's going to be a witness against that. And see if you can find yourself somewhere in this. It says, and against those who oppress the hireling for his wages, those that are unfair. Those that unfairly treat others. And the people that oppress the widows and the fatherless. Those who make their burdens harder. And turn aside the stranger from his right. Those that turn away the stranger. And the stranger there, meaning here, is like the Gentiles. The nations that God said, let me think how to word this. The nations that God didn't put his house in, that God didn't put his temple in, but if they are willing to come, God says, hey, you love the stranger because you were a stranger and I loved you. Now think about it in our day. Those who turn aside the sinners that want to do right, the sinners that are trying to do what's right and they are coming to you and they have these questions. You know, not every time, I was just talking to somebody today and he asked some questions. Not every time a sinner is asking questions, it doesn't mean that he's being, that he's trying to trap you. He or she's trying to trap you. No, what they're doing is they're just trying to understand. And if you are turning them away, God's a witness to that. And he says, hey, I'm going to witness it and I'm going to judge it. Have you turned away people? Are there people that you know you need to talk to, but you've turned them away for whatever reason? You got to get that right. And finally, he says, and I think we all can find ourselves here. And for the people that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, says the Lord God of hosts. He's going to come and he's going to be a swift witness when he realizes you aren't fearing him. When you aren't giving God the reverence that he deserves and the fear and the respect that he deserves. And I think we all can dangerously find ourselves not paying attention to this specific part in our life. Or we kind of just let God, you know, yeah, he can be with us at this certain time, but at this other time, you're not thinking about him. You're not thinking about how to serve him. We all can find ourselves that way. But God says, hey, I'm a swift witness to those. I see it. There's nothing that we're hiding from him. So we got to realize that God is a swift witness to all of this. And what he's saying is he's going to judge it. And you say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. That's not what God does anymore. Next verse, verse number 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. What he says here, the judgment that he says here, it's the same way today. We just have an easier way out. But when God, when you purposefully, even if you don't purposely, when you stray away from God, even if it's an accident, God sees it. And he's going to judge it unless you get it right. We're going to keep reading verse 6 because this is interesting that I noticed. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are consumed. Well, if you're reading with me, you're going to realize that's not what it says at all. It says you are not consumed. Because I am the Lord, because my statutes are always right, this is the reason you're not consumed. Why? Because he has mercy. Sure, his judgment stays true. And yes, if you don't come back to God, he will judge you. But his mercy that he's always had is still here. He's the Lord. He changes not. That's why, Jacob, that's why, Judah, you're not being cut off right now. It's because he knew that there was people that were going to come to him. He knew it. And that's why he didn't destroy him right away. So you might be getting away with sin right now, quote unquote, getting away with sin. You might think, hey, it's not a big deal. God's not even watching me. Well, first off, he's a witness to it. Second off, his judgment doesn't change. Because he's the Lord and he doesn't change. But third off, his mercy doesn't change. So when you turn from your ways, and we're going to see that in this chapter, when you turn from your ways, immediately God turns to you. When you turn to him, he will turn to you. Let's keep reading and we'll let God say that later, because he does. We're going to be in verse 7 now. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from my ordinances, and ye have not kept them. Here we go, right now. Listen, mark this down in your Bible if you're reading along with me, or if you're not, type it up, I don't know, on your notes, text it to yourself. I don't know what everybody does now, but just do it. You got to figure out a way to get this verse in your mind, because this is the verse that will help you realize God's promises. Return unto me. This is the second half of verse 7. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. It's not I might turn back unto you. If you turn unto me, I might consider. It might take a little while, but I will come. Maybe I'll come back to you. No, it says when you turn to me, I will turn to you. Isn't that amazing? God says, hey, when you realize that you are living your life not being purified by this fire, when you are realizing that you are not doing exactly what I said and you are willing to get it right, God's willing to come back. Turn unto me and I will turn unto you. We'll continue in verse number 7, saith the Lord God of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? How shall we return? They're like, look, I understand this, but how are we going to return? And God answers that question here. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And he says, these people, I think we're kind of in a rebellious, like, oh, well, how can we return unto you? We're already doing it. And he's like, look, you've robbed me. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and offerings. It's interesting that that's the first thing God talks about. And tithes and offerings today is just money. In our mind, it's just money. But back then, it was a 10% of everything you had. So God's not only saying 10% of your first income of your money. He's not talking about just, you know, some of the things you might have, giving 10% of that. He wants everything of yours. And he's saying, you have robbed me because you're not giving me exactly what I've given you back. At least 10% of it is what he says in the Old Testament. That's what they're going off of. But he's saying, you've kept this stuff from me. That's how you robbed me. And I don't really like talking about money all that much, but how often do we rob God? Because we're not giving it back. God doesn't need your money. If God needed money, then he would just, like that make a way of money. What he wants is your faithfulness. Are you proving your faithfulness to God through your tithes and offering? Verse number 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You are cursed because you've robbed me, he says. Not only you, but this entire nation, everybody here, they've all robbed me, and you're cursed because of it. Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if you will not open the windows of heaven, if I will not pour out the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, try me. He says right there, he says, improve me, try me. I love it when God does this because it almost makes me laugh because then you realize how actually dumb we are. He says, hey, try me. If you give what I've told you to give, if you give to me what I told you to give to me, try me and see if I'm not going to bless you. See if I'm not going to bless you. And he will. That's a promise. He says, try me, give me what I've asked for, and in return, see if I don't bless you above all others. If I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings enough that you can't even fathom. You don't need all these blessings. All he's asking for is faith. And I'm not just talking about money here, guys. I'm talking about our entire life. Is our entire life given to God? Because if it is, he will pour out blessings. It's not about the money. It's about the faith. And in that faith, God does tell you to give some money. Okay, so it's not just, oh, God doesn't want our money. No, he does. But he wants your money not just for the sake of your money. He wants it to prove that you are trusting in him. And in return, you will be blessed. He says, try me. Prove me. Verse number 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time and field, saith the Lord God of hosts. He says, I will rebuke the devourer. Who's the devourer? It's Satan. And the devourer could also be this world. He says, I will rebuke these things. Why? And they will have no power over you. Why? Because you've given to me exactly what I've wanted. And that's your entire faith. That's everything you own. I want it to be mine. Because that's everything he's given to us, right? There's nothing that is ours that God hasn't given to us. So all he wants is everything. Now, that doesn't mean, again, give all your money. That means give to him what he said, but realize that none of it is really ours. And when you give God his due, what he needs, what we owe him, which is way more than what he requires, by the way, then he's going to bless us. He's going to rebuke the devourer. Maybe you're not getting spiritual victory in your life. Maybe you're struggling with some sins. Have you thought? And this is you judging yourself, because I don't know what you're struggling with. Have you thought, maybe this is happening because I'm not giving everything to God? Maybe there's a point in your life where you know you're not giving it all to God. Remember, he only rebukes the devourer when you are doing what he says. He says, try me. I will do it. Verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, where have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that if we kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord God of hosts? Okay, so he says, look, your words have been stout against me. It's been very firm against me. And they're like, how has our words been firm against you? It's been firm against me because you said it's vain to serve me. You want to know why it feels vain to serve God sometimes? Why it feels like we're not serving God? Like, it just feels empty? It's because we're not serving God the way that he wants us to serve him. That's the point. That's the whole point of this chapter. Is to show that when you serve God the way he wants you to serve him, you'll be blessed. But when you don't serve God, or when you serve God even the way that he doesn't want you to. And that can go with, let's say that I know that I'm called to be a pastor, okay? There's people in my life that they know that they're not that they're not called to be a pastor. Does that mean that in the future, my job will be any more important than anybody else's? No. But if they, who are not supposed to be a pastor in their life, if they go and be a pastor, God's not going to bless that. It's better to be in the will of God, doing something that you think is kind of just lame, than to be doing something you think is great and not being the will of God. And that's what he's saying here. He says, "It's what profit is it that we have walked in his ordinances?" You know what the profit is? He already told us that in the last couple, this entire book. The profit of serving God is that God blesses us. But these people are confused. They don't see the light. They don't understand it. And God's like, look, I've already told you it. I've told you exactly what you're supposed to do. Verse number 15. "And we now call the proud happy. Yea, they work wickedness and are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before them for they that feared the Lord, and they thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And in the day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serveth God and them that's not." Okay, that was the end of this chapter, and I'm going to sum it up real quick. This entire chapter, it's all about what happens when you don't serve God. And that's actually what this entire book's about. It's all about these people that started off serving God, but they kind of just went away. They kind of just forgot the ordinances that God has said. And he says, in this chapter specifically, though, it talks about how when you purify your life through God, then your offerings are righteous. And in this last couple chapter, or this last couple verses, if you didn't pick it up, he said, those that fear God, those that talk about him, those that remember him, he remembers you. And he writes it in a book, all those that fear God, the book of remembrance. So he has a book up there right now that when you serve God, he writes it down. And my question is, and that's not the book of life. The book of life is when you get saved. This is a completely different book. This is the book of remembrance. And when you're saved, you're in the book of life. Okay? You are already 100% in the book of life. But the book of remembrance, I believe, is the book that you can be in more. So my question to you is, are you confident that you have purified your life in the fire of God? Are you 100% sure that your life every day is purified through the fire of God's word? And if you are, that's great. Hey, keep it up. Your name, God remembers that. But if you're not, God's a witness. It talks about in the Bible how he sees both good and evil. His eyes are all everywhere. He sees the good you do and the bad you do. And my question to you is today, will God delight in you, like verse 17 says, "And I will spare them as many as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Is God going to spare you? Is he going to delight in you because he knows you're living your life the way that he wants you to? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves. And we end off on verse 18. "And they shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serveth God and them that serveth not." I want you to look at people in your life. And I'm not going to say those people. I'm not going to point out who they might be, because I don't know everybody in your life. But I want you to look at the way God has blessed somebody who is serving God. And I want you to look at people who aren't serving God, and people who are keeping things from God, and people who might put on a good face, but you know deep down that they are not serving God. I want you to look at those two. That's what the Bible says right here. He says, then you'll be able to discern those who are righteous, those who are serving God the right way, and those who are serving God the wrong way. And I want you to look at the way God blesses them. And when you come back next week, think, okay, You've seen it. You've seen it this past week. Which side do you land on? How is God going to deal with you? Is he going to lighten you? Is he going to spare you? Are you in the Book of Remembrance a lot? Or are you just kind of playing your life? Are you just kind of, you know, doing whatever you want and acting like you don't understand what God is trying to tell you? But what he's trying to tell you is, don't be ignorant. Don't think that your life is okay the way it is. And get it right, purify it through the fire. That was a lot to unpack today, and a lot more than what I thought I was going to. So I guess we're going to end here and pick up Monday on Malachi chapter 4, which is only 6 verses, and that probably will be a lot shorter, hopefully. But I hope that you've thought that today, that you've thought about how God sees your life and how at the end of your life could be summed up.